we're still in the red letters, talking about the actual words that Jesus spoke when he was on the earth. And so this morning we're going to look at Luke. We've been in Matthew, but we're going to look at Luke chapter 5, verse 5 through 7. Probably a little story that most of you are pretty familiar with. And it says, starting with verses 1 through 7, it says, "One day Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. Great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. He noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon," now this is the Peter that we all know and love, right? "He asked Simon, its owner, to push it out into the water. So he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, 'Now go out where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish.' 'Master,' Simon replied, 'we worked hard all night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again.' And this time their nets were so full of fish, they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking." Father, we just humble ourselves before you and before your word this morning and ask that you would show us what you want us to see, that you would teach us, and that we would know that your words truly are Jesus' spirit and they are life. We pray in your name. Amen. So you get the picture. Peter, James, John were fishermen. They'd been fishing all night long, the text says, and they hadn't caught a thing. You ever been there? That seemed to be the story of my life. If I went fishing, I wasn't going to catch a thing, you know. And they'd finally given up. And they're washing their nets. Their boats are sitting there. They're washing their nets, cleaning them up, so they could put them away for the next time. Fishing was their livelihood. That was their job. That's how they made a living. And so likely they were tired. They were probably dirty. They were probably discouraged, because if this is the way you make your living, then if you go out and you don't catch anything, that's pretty discouraging. And they probably just wanted to go home, get something to eat, and go to bed, right? So Jesus is trying to teach, and there's this huge crowd, the Bible says, pressing in on him to listen to him, and he sees the boats. And so he gets into one of them, and he tells Simon, Peter, the owner, he says, "Push me out just a little bit so I can get back from the crowd so I can teach the crowd." So you got the picture. And Peter does what he asks. Jesus sits down and he teaches from the boat. And when he finishes speaking, he tells Peter, he says, "Go out into the deeper water and let down your nets for a catch." Now, y'all, let's just imagine what Peter was thinking. "You mean these nets I just washed?" Jesus, excuse me, but you're a carpenter? Do you know anything about fishing? "We worked hard all night, Jesus. We're professionals. We know about fishing. You teach and you're a carpenter. We do this for a living. We're tired. There are no fish out there. Trust me, Lord. There are no fish. We've already checked. Just let it go, you know? I mean, if there were fish out there, we're really good fishermen. We would have caught them." I mean, these are things that I imagine Peter was thinking. And I'm guessing that Peter, being a human being, had some thoughts that weren't so holy about what Jesus was telling him to do. But he also was acquainted with Jesus. And we know that because Luke tells us at the beginning of his gospel that his gospel is chronological. He gives us an orderly account. And so we know that Peter knew Jesus. He had listened to him teach. He had followed him. He had seen what he could do. He had heard him called the Lamb of God by John the Baptist, and he had seen him heal his mother-in-law already by this point. And so he decided to do what Jesus told him to do, even though it didn't make a lick of sense. He decided to obey. In spite of what he thought, and in spite of how he felt, physically and emotionally. So I want you to get that. He decided to obey, because isn't that part of our problem with obedience? We try to lean on our own understanding. Remember Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. We try to lean on our own understanding. We think, okay, Jesus, this is what you said, but let me think about this. Because I disagree. Because I'm the professional. I know about these things, Jesus. You just run the universe. I know about these things. In spite of what he thought, in spite of how he felt, he was tired. He was discouraged. But he said in verse 5, we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again. That's what obedience to God looks like. It's not about what you think or what you think you know. It's not about how we feel emotionally. It's not about how tired or how energetic we feel. It's about what is Jesus telling me to do and will I do it? Will I trust him? Will I trust him instead of leaning on my own understanding? Because Peter obeyed Jesus, he acknowledged that he was master. You notice he called him master. Even though he didn't agree or understand, because he obeyed, he was blessed. It wasn't because he felt good about it. It wasn't because he had a good attitude about it. It wasn't any of that. It was because he did what Jesus told him to do, and he received a blessing. God blesses obedience. Peter received a miracle, the greatest catch of fish he had ever seen from a place that he knew there weren't any fish. But you know what? Not only was Peter blessed because of Peter's obedience, but think of all the other people that were blessed because of Peter's obedience. The other fishermen, the people that got to witness the miracle that were the crowds that were there, Peter's family, John's family, James's family. I mean, they were all blessed because of one man's obedience. And so we can't ever say that it doesn't matter, it's just a personal thing whether I obey or not, because our obedience has the potential to not only bless many, many people around us, but the opposite, I think, is true, too. If we don't obey, it has the potential to harm people around us. So let's don't ever forget that our obedience can be a blessing to many, many people. When we obey or disobey Jesus, it doesn't just affect us and our lives. Many people have the potential to be blessed. So what was Peter's response to the blessing? Did he focus on the fish and the money and the blessing it would bring? Because that would be the normal thing to do, right? Oh my goodness. Look at all these fish. Look at all this money. We're rich. We can go buy that new car. We can go, you know, do that. We can go fix up the house, honey. You know, that kind of thing. But let's look at verse 8 and see what it says. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, "Oh, Lord, please leave me. I am such a sinful man." For he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, as were the others with him. His partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. Now, like I said, I can only imagine some of the thoughts that Peter was probably having when Jesus told him to put those nets he just washed into the the deep again. Probably something that he needed to repent of at that moment, you think? Oh, Lord, you know, get away from me because I am a sinful man. You just don't even know. Well, he really did know, didn't he? But it's probably even much more than that. He was awestruck by Jesus, by his power, by who is this man? Who is this man? By his presence, to the point to where the fish didn't matter anymore. He fell to his knees and he asked Jesus to leave his presence because he was not worthy. He was undone. He was exposed to himself and probably felt like he was exposed to everybody else. Nothing else mattered except this man that was standing in front of him. But it's interesting to me what Jesus has to say about that response of Peter. Nothing. Nothing. He ignores it. He doesn't say, like we might be tempted to say, well, Peter, yes, you are pretty sinful. But all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You know? Or he doesn't say, well, that's a good response, Peter. I'm glad you see who I am and you see your own sinfulness compared to me. No. What does Jesus say? It says, Jesus replied to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people. And I just love that. I just love that Jesus ignores his confession of unworthiness. He tells him not to be afraid and points him in the direction of what matters, and that is people. And I thought, Jesus knows we are so prone to be afraid. We are so prone to feel unworthy. We are so prone to have no confidence. And we are so prone to focus on ourselves and our sinfulness and our unworthiness and our lack of abilities. And Jesus ignores all of that. Do you see that? He says, if you love me, you will obey me. That's all he cares about. That's all he cares about. If you do that, he will make sure you are doing what he wants. And what he wants is for us to be loving people. That's why I entitled this, It's All About People. What Jesus cares about is people. He wants us all to be fishing for people, serving people, giving our lives, our time, our resources to serve and to love people. The last verse 11 says, as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. They left the fish. They left everything. And they followed Jesus. And so the question this morning for us is, what is Jesus asking us to leave so that we can love and serve and fish for people? Are your priorities messed up? Have you forgotten what matters in this life? Are you spending your time and your resources and your energy, whether it's mental energy, emotional energy, physical energy, or whatever, on things that don't matter? Or are you listening to Jesus and spending your life for his sake on the things that matter to him? Remember John 3:16, for God so loved the world. It didn't mean that God loved this planet that we're on so much that he gave Jesus. It means that he so loved every single individual person on this planet that has ever lived on this planet. He loved every single person so much that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever of all those people believed would not perish. And that's what he cared about then, and that's what he cares about today. Have we gotten sidetracked? Have we stopped living in light of eternity? You know, Howard Hendricks, a famous Bible teacher, said there are only two things leaving this planet: the Word of God and people. And those are the two things that we need to make sure that we are investing our lives in. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for the fact that you made sure it was written down so that we could hear it, so that we could remember, so that your words, Jesus, as you say in John 6, could be spirit and life to us. They could give us life. And Lord, I pray this morning that your word has given life to our spirits, and that we will repent of anything that we're doing that doesn't matter, and that we would begin to care and to do the things that you have called us to do. And we know that you have called us to love you and to love people. Lord, we just ask you to do that. Amen.